Welcome to Brown Girl Bible. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Lauren.
Yes, and we are here. We are providing faith-based content from two brown girls. And in 2020, we are reading through the Bible chronologically. So shout out to everyone who's been reading with us. Maybe this is your first time jumping in. That's fine. Just start wherever we are now in the reading plan. The reading plan will be linked below, but we're just going through the Bible. So Lauren, real talk, how are you this morning? It's morning. It's early.
Yeah, it's early. Real talk. I'm doing okay. It's been a busy couple of weeks, so I'm kind of like, I'm in my office right now. So, but you know, we're making it through.
We're making it through. Absolutely. Yes, it is definitely real. You know, my baby woke up, and so Reagan is here with us recording. And she's playing with her little toys right over there, and I'm recording here. So it's been cool. It's the end of February, and it's been an interesting month, to say the least. One of the big things that happened is that we lost Kobe Bryant, unfortunately. That was major and affected a lot of people. Lauren, did that affect you in any way?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it was just such a horrific death. And the fact that his daughter also died and those families as well, it's just like your worst nightmares to lose people like that. Yeah, just so sudden. He was so young. It's not like a celebrity death where it's like, okay, well, they were getting up there and we knew they had health issues or whatever, you know. It was pretty devastating.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why death has been hitting me in such a different way lately. Even Nipsey Hussle. And I honestly was not that I wasn't a fan of Nipsey Hussle or Kobe Bryant. I just wasn't familiar with his work. Like, I wasn't against him, but I wasn't familiar with his work. And then Kobe, like, I didn't, like, grow up as kind of like a Kobe fan like a lot of people did. Like, I obviously knew who he was. But just, like, death of celebrities have really been hitting me lately. It's just kind of the how final death is. It really is just, it's just been getting to me. And these people literally will never come back. So I've been praying for the Bryant family, because that's a lot.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's a lot. Was there like a celebrity that passed that you can remember that really did hit you, like you really knew them or you really like their work or followed them or whatever? Because yeah, I know we weren't super keeping up on Kobe Bryant or Nipsey Hussle.
That has passed.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think even Mac Miller, which again, I'm not gonna, I hate when people kind of like try to jump on the bandwagon, like when it's popular. Like, I'm not gonna act like I was the biggest Mac Miller fan. Like, did no. But the fact that he was so young, I think he was younger than me. I think he was 25 when he passed. Just that really hit me. Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina, who passed away years ago. That hit me too. So I think when young people, you know, pass, it's just, it gets real. So, but lately
I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, but lately, like, it's the more recent ones that are really hitting me. Like, wow, these people are gone. Like, they're just gone forever.
Yeah. It makes me think of, I just actually listened to the Jordan podcast, and yeah, a lot of these, the young people are due to overdoses or taking their lives. And that podcast really just made me, just consider how we just have to, you really have to be in people's lives, like, for real. You have to be there. You have to know what's up. Like, the role that, if people haven't listened to it, go back and listen to the podcast episode with Jordan. What's her last name?
Her last name is Dunlap. Yeah, so it'll be Honesty Hours, episode 6. And yeah, she's a suicide attempt survivor. When I say her testimony was powerful, like, what were your thoughts behind it?
Yeah, so I just, yeah, it made me really, and actually I was talking to someone before I listened to the podcast, but it's so important to share those stories. Because one, I mean, just in general, suicide awareness, I feel like sometimes you hear these campaigns of like awareness and you're like, okay, like what is up with like the whole awareness thing? But I think people having representation of people feeling like they want to take their lives, but then seeking out mental health efforts and seeking out other people as like an alternative, that is so powerful, because in those moments you don't feel like you have an alternative. But if you've seen the representation of other people sharing, well, this helped me, then you'll be more likely to seek that stuff out. And obviously too, just her words about I mean, you need the power of Christ, like that is so transformative. And in my Bible study, we've been doing a series on this book called God Space, and just leaving space for people to be curious about God, and leaving space for people in your life or people that you meet to talk to you about God. And I think just leaving space in general for people to talk about what's really going on with them, where they're at, and then bringing in the solution of Christ to that. And a lot of people may be resistant to that, may not, but it's just important to bring up, because I mean, that is healing.
Yeah, it really, really is. I've been so convicted when I think about that. When I think about their deaths, it makes you face eternity. It makes you face what really reality is, and it makes me say, man, I have to share more. Because you never think, oh, this person's going to die when they're 13. You never think, oh, they're only going to live till they're 25. You don't assume that. And then it happens, and we're shocked. But it's really common. Babies die, children die. And it sounds so negative. It sounds so, why would you say that? You know, but it's the reality. So I have just been convicted to, like you said, one of the things that I think is important is to make space. Like, I have to have time to engage with people. I have to have emotional space and emotional energy. And one of the books I'm reading about hospitality, it's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key by Rosaria Butterfield. And she says, and it's about like radical hospitality. And she says one of the biggest things is having margin in your life. Like, if you pack your life to the brim with yourself, you don't have space to invite people over for dinner. If you use your budget to the edges, you don't have extra money to give to someone who's hurting. You know, if you are so emotionally full with yourself, you don't have the capacity to help other people through issues, because you'll be over it in 5 seconds, you know?
Right. Wow. True. Very true. Wow. Convicting, but it's fine.
Convicting, because it's hard to live in margin, but it's real.
Yeah, because you're just like, there's so many things I want to fill with the space, and now I have a tiny bit of space, so let me just fill it with everything. It's just like, no, leave the margin, it'll be okay.
Right, it's a way that you serve people, but it's also a way that you serve yourself. Like, just be able to breathe, like have a day where you don't have things planned. Like, that's tough. Yeah. So anyways, we could go on and on about that.
Cool.
Yes. Go ahead. Yeah. How's your reading been going?
Ooh, girl, listen.
It's real. It's real out here. It's real. If you've been struggling with your reading, guys, just know we have been too. Like, we're going to be real with you.
Yeah. Yeah. This, like, last week has been... been interesting. I'm like, what day is it? Today we're recording on February 26th, and where am I even at in actuality? What day am I on? Let's see. Just for some real representation, no shame, grace.
No shame, all the grace.
let's see where I'm at actually. February 21st. So I have some catching up to do.
Yeah, that's not even that bad. Some of the weeks I've honestly had to skim. I've honestly had to find a YouTube video that's, you know, a little sermon situation, you know.
We're making it through.
And then I go back and like try to see the key verses. But or either I have to listen to it on audio, like the Bible audio, because it's real.
Right. I know. I need to do that. I might do that. I have a road trip coming up, so maybe I'll do that.
Where are you going?
Yeah, and a part of it, too, is this is, we're not, let's just all be real about it. This is a tough little spot. All of this just, like, do this sacrifice and make the temple this way. It's just.
Yeah.
I took a little jump to some New Testament for just a second. But, yeah, so I had to take a little break. I needed to consult the Lord about some personal things and some of my word times in the morning. So I did a little bit of not doing the chronological where we're supposed to be, but that's okay because I'm gonna catch up. Leviticus, we all knew it was gonna be tough.
Leviticus is real. It's just not fun. It's not the most fun.
It's kind of interesting to see some of the stuff, and I don't know, what I've been taking from it is just like God's attention to details.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all of this is important to him. And I know I'm important to him. And so if he pays this much attention to detail to all this, build the temple this way and do the sacrifice this way, then he's got to be paying a lot of attention to detail about me, who I am, my life. And he loves me and wants to guide me on that. That's what I've been taking away from that. But yeah.
And that's so real. And that's so comforting. Like, if he cares about this temple, if he cares about, of course, there's a verse in the New Testament, the birds of the air, you know. He absolutely cares about us to that level of detail, and that, you're right, that's so comforting. That's so good. But today, let's talk about the Book of Job. Book of Job, very popular book, very popular, because it's so practical, right?
Yeah, wait, what do you mean?
Just like, it's a really popular Bible story.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a very popular Bible story out of probably all the Bible stories. Because it's very practical, really easy to understand. We all can relate to if all my kids died, and if all, you know, we can relate to his story. If all my money got taken, you know, how hard that would be, you know, where, you know, we may not be able to relate to Elijah, like having a showdown, you know, against like Jezebel and Baal and like fire coming from heaven, you know, like that may not be, you know, certain stories.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's my life personally. So,
is that what you did this morning?
Yeah, just like calling out fire. Of Baal. Yeah, it's fire.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, in the spirit. That's what we be doing. No.
So
Job was real. So of course we try to follow loosely the observation, interpretation, application kind of flow situation. So in general, Lauren, like obviously most people know the story of Job, but do you just want to like go over it very quick? Like what the gist?
Yes, I do. So basically there's this guy named Job. He's really rich in biblical standards and probably in our time standards, too. He has lots of land. He has lots of kids. He has lots of property.
Big money.
He's doing very well in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he is really honors the Lord. He's one of the few people around during that time that really honors the Lord. And so, of course... Satan comes to God and is just like, and God's just like, look at my servant Job. He's so awesome. Satan's like, he wouldn't be that awesome if he didn't have all that stuff. Mm. You know, he wouldn't be so loyal and honoring to you if you didn't provide him with all this stuff. And God was like, okay, bet. So feel free to do what you want, Satan, to take that stuff away, and we'll see how he responds. And so Satan does do that. All his property destroyed, his kids die, he gets super sick, which I was just like, I feel like the sickness hit different for me reading it this time around, because I'm just like, Oh my gosh. So it's one thing to be just like out here poor, but just like, I have an illness I don't know what to do about and I can't do anything about. That's really tough. Yeah. So yeah, and so Job goes through this period of mourning and questioning God, and a lot of his friends visit him and try to basically say, we know you must have sinned in some big way against God, and this is why this is happening. So just repent and like whatever. And Job is just like, I didn't really do anything all that big, you know, and whatever. And I'm just still mad at God. And you guys are not being very comforting. Yeah. So Job eventually does end up speaking against God, I guess, in some ways, or just like really being like, God, I demand an audience with you, you know, like, how you gonna do me like this? Like, just getting really bold. And eventually he does get that audience with God, and he's very much shut up because God is like, you know, who made you? Who made all this? Who's in control? Me, like, you know. And so yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
Yes, and that's real, and that's it. And this story of Job is so interesting because I love it, because it's so practical. It shows you the practicality of that's very relatable to us. Like you said, like the sickness, like, you know, the children dying hit different for me now that I have a child, you know, things like that. But also it gives you a veil behind behind the curtain of heaven, behind the spiritual line that's drawn. And we see what happens, like this conversation between God and the devil. And it's very interesting because it gives us an insight into how the spiritual world works in a lot of ways. One of the things that I loved that I noticed in this story is that Satan had to come to God for permission to touch Job. The enemy can only touch us, children of God, when either we are in agreement with him and we allow him to, by doing things like sinning or like inviting him into spaces in our lives, or unless God gives permission. And I just thought that that was really interesting, like the spiritual superiority that God and his children have.
Yeah, so how does that make you feel that God gave that permission to Satan to let him kind of do that stuff to Job? And that may sometimes be our lives, where it's like we're not really doing anything crazy, but God is allowing bad stuff to happen to us. How does that make you feel personally?
So that makes me feel, honestly, my first thought is, Lord, please don't pick me.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's I'm really funny. Sorry. I know that's like selfish and like, but I was just like, Lord, I just, maybe I do want to be blameless to your sight, but like, I just don't really want to sign up for this type of story.
Yeah. That's honestly a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's real. But it also shows me that God, like, is like, he'll not show off, but he'll like use us for his glory in different ways. And it's hard, but you just have to trust that it's for the good of him and for the good of the body. But that's really tough, you know, honestly. And it shows you also like that the Lord is not just this genie in the sky who's trying to grant every wish that you have. Even though honestly the end of Job's story is redemptive, God blesses him like double with everything that was taken, but God is not just a genie in the sky. Like, part of the Christian walk is going to be suffering, and it's not always going to be like you said, because like, oh, I'm just sinning, I'm wilding, or I'm whatever. Like, that's just going to be part of your walk, and it's God ordained.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we have to address the reality of that is really hard. You know, it's really hard to accept. It's one thing when you're like, my trials that God is bringing me through is like, oh man, I gotta, you know, yeah, like somebody at my job is annoying me, right, but you know, I just gotta keep pushing through, versus like, I had this family member die, or multiple family members die, or I lost everything, like I'm on the streets or whatever. And not even to minimize, like, you know, office stuff. I think our trials always, feel tough. And so it's easy. I feel like I'm experiencing that right now. It's easy to be like, yes, I believe this, that through our like suffering, God grows us. What's that James verse?
Consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind. Yes. You know, the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
Yes, love that for a time right. in my life when everything's very cushy and fun. But yeah, when it comes to trials, you're like, okay, do I really actually believe it? Now it's really time. I feel like I've been in a time in my life recently where I'm just like, things are really tough. And now it's time to actually prove if I really do believe in this, because I'm about to be out. Like, I quit. I quit.
I honestly
like
quit.
I'm finished. Can't. It's good for me. But yeah. It's just like, no, like this is where you put your money where your mouth is. Like,
yeah.
And it's so crazy though, because God does really use that. And I feel like the more that you experience, like when you're in those trials and you fully give yourself over to God, to his comfort, to his guidance, you see the full scope of everything that's going on. And it makes it easier to enter into other trials because you know how God provides and how he comes through and how he uses it. But yeah, it is as all well and good until like somebody you love dies or something. Right.
Exactly. Like, it sounds real cute until you actually have to walk through it. Until you actually have to face your emotional issue.
Yes.
Sorry. Very true. My baby is over there just turning up. But yeah, it's really real. I thought also it was interesting, like, how God is using human beings basically to flex. He's like, bet. Like, what's up? My servant Job, like, he's the realest and you know it. And so the Lord literally said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man who fears God and turns from evil. So yes, the Lord uses people and his servants, his children, to kind of like flex and like show off in the spirit. And so I thought that was cool. What did you think about Job's friends?
Yeah, his friends, I was just like, I really feel them. I'm like so actually bad at comforting. So I'm just like, they were really trying it and not hitting the mark.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of us may read these passages like, oh my gosh, what are they even, like, they're annoying. But that literally is me, just like trying to be there for someone or empathize or try to give advice, and just like not quite helpful all the way. But yeah, I mean, their message, the root of their message was like just not fully grasping how relationship with God was.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong on this, but I think most of them, except for the last guy that was young, were pretty much like, hey, you know, God is righteous, correct. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't just punish good people. We see him bringing about bad things to bad people. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a thing. God brought a lot of justice to people during that time. So he's like, so they were like, so therefore you had to have done something really, really bad to deserve all this bad stuff. And that's where Job's like, oh, wait. No, I haven't done anything super crazy bad. And that's where they were missing the mark of God's character, I think, where, you know, ultimately they're getting that point right. If God is righteous, he knows everything that is good and right. But he sometimes bad stuff, he allows bad stuff, and it's not because we just like deserve all the bad in the world, although we do, we're sinners, but he's allowing it for different reasons. And I think you kind of get to the end of this passage and God never explains himself. He's never like, this is why I allowed all this, Job, in that conversation with Job. And so it's like they were kind of missing the mark of that, where it's just like, one, God doesn't have to explain himself. And, you know, maybe we have done something awful and God is allowing consequences. Or maybe, like, this is just like, we don't know why things are happening, but what we do know is what we can cling to is that God is righteous. He's good. He has a plan. He will provide for us and comfort us and protect us. And I think the last guy, Elihu, gets at that the best. He's not like, he just points out like, God is righteous. He's good. No matter what, he's good. So, which is interesting because that was the youngest guy too. So, but yeah, I think his friends were just a little bit missing the mark for sure.
Right, and it's hard because you could see like how they would think that, because they're like, God is righteous, which he is, you know. But yeah. But like you said, they totally missed the mark and just kind of were more accusatory instead of encouraging and all of that stuff. So that's really interesting. And I love how you said like God didn't explain himself. Like he didn't right. feel the need to be like, okay, now let me tell you. So I was having a conversation with Satan, you know. So right. So I just thought that that was interesting too. In fact, in Job, the book of Job, God really doubles down like, who else, like, I'm me, period. Who else, like, you know, has put all these stars in the sky? Who else has done all these things, you know? And so he doesn't explain himself. And so just that faith, you know, and then even Job's wife, all the trash, like, for real. Like, she really was encouraging him. Yeah,
she was.
To curse God and, like, to go against his faith. Like, truly, like, be careful who you have around you, man, because even though Job did not curse God, just her encouraging him to do so is just, you know, it just wasn't good.
Yeah, that was a lot. Yeah, we don't always all give wise counsel all the time.
Right.
Yeah, that was really a lot. But yeah, I think it is kind of tough. I feel like the question that we can take away from it is just like, are you going to believe God? Are you going to believe that he's good, he's righteous, he has a plan, he is your comfort, he is your stability, even when everything is going wrong? Like, are you sticking in there with him? Are you believing the truth even in those times about him?
Right. And it's so hard. And one of the things that I feel like you really should do in those moments is to process in godly community. So that's what's hard about this is that Job's friends did come to him with the intent to help. And they're also believers. Obviously, they have a view of God, you know, but you just have to be careful and make sure that, you know, you're hearing God. You make sure you're always trusting God and believing the firm truth that every single thing will work out for our good. Like, even the most terrible, even like disease, even things we just don't understand, like even how we're talking about these deaths, like I have no clue why Kobe's daughter, you know, would just live for 13 years, you know. Just, it's hard to say that, and like I couldn't even imagine like saying that about my daughter. Just like, that's wild, you know. But just believing God, man, that's real. Believing God in the hardest times.
Have you ever had a time in your life where you were really going through a trial and you just stopped believing God, that he was good or that he was going to provide or that he was your comforter? Yeah, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, one of the lies that I believe, and like, for me, it's never been just fully explicit and very conscious to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm mad at God, so I'm about to turn. Like, but I've noticed that in my heart posture, I've noticed now in hindsight that my heart posture a lot of the times will be saying that, even if it's not connecting to my mind and I'm quote unquote being intentional. But I realized that I have not believed the Lord would bless me with a godly husband. I thought I've always been like, okay, yeah, like, in theory, like, I'm sure that'll happen, but I actually didn't believe it, which is why I feel like a lot of the times I've compromised and just, sorry, my baby's right here. I've compromised and just made a lot of different decisions that weren't the best. But yeah, just kind of like, well, God, like, forget that. Like, I'm just, and it's not like I'm like, you know, throw my whole faith away, but I just be like, you don't have it, like, so I'm gonna just take this into my own hands. It's whatever, you know.
Ooh, so real. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've dealt with the same thing. Oh my gosh, yeah, it's so It's so hard to believe God is going to provide a husband, especially when you just have not had many of a good guy around. But that is really hard to believe, and the pressure feels so real for that. So, yeah, I feel that for sure.
So that's definitely one of the ways. And, so you say you've kind of felt like you're in a little bit of a Job season. I felt like I'm kind of ending one. I feel like the past year and a half has been really hard, just the whole pregnancy and being mm-hmm. a new mom. That's just been a lot, not just the practicality of it, but also the spiritual elements of it and whatnot. So that's been real. And so what application, like, did you take from the book of Job and everything?
Man, I love this conversation because it's just helping me to revisit. But I think even just from talking now, I think just being real with God, approaching him. I like what you said, too, where it's like God was like, look at my servant Job. You know, he is whatever. He's great. And God started that conversation knowing everything that would happen. So he knew all of the mental gymnastics Job was going to go through, all of the incorrect things Job was going to say about God, all the ways he was going to come crazy to God. And he still chose to do that. And it just gives me, it helps me to realize, like, we just need to come to God. You know, we may not have all of our mindset correct. We may not be coming correct. But just come to God. And I think, too, like, believe him for who he is and what he says he'll do in the hard times and the easy times. Because the trials, like, God really will use it to grow you. And I know people who have been through some of the biggest trials. I mean, you hear that even in the world, as people are like, you know, I'm grateful because it made me who I am. And God will really use that to refine your character and draw you closer to him. And so I think that's what I'm taking away from it. Like, during hard times, draw closer to God.
Yeah, that's really, really good. And it's hard because in hard times you want to just go to comfort. And for me, that's not always God. Like, I'm not going to fake with you. In fact, rarely feels
gosh.
Like it.
Like, my first mindset, that's never God.
I know. Me either. I'm like, food, like, sleep, like, anything else. Like,
oh, my gosh. Yes.
Like, talking to somebody. I mean, anything.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
Truly. It's mm-hmm. so hard. It's
a
discipline.
What about mm-hmm. you? What was the application you took from it?
For me, Job 27:3-4 reads, as long as breath is in me and the spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood. Mm. My lips will not speak falsehood and my tongue will not utter deceit. And the Lord recently in this season of life has really been speaking to me about the power of my tongue and really like taking the Bible literally about how you use your tongue, about how like not gossiping at all. About gracious speech, about being peaceable, and about mm-hmm. speaking truth only.
That takes a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline.
It really does take a lot of discipline. It's so hard, but so that is my goal. Like that, I will not speak falsehood. And sometimes, like, you speak falsehood and you don't even know because you just be like, mm-hmm. these are my emotions and I have the right to express them. Mm-hmm. And you know, be like, I'm just not worthy. I'm just, you know, just all these things. No matter what it is. We feel like we're entitled to being able to speak falsehood as long as it's our truth and whatever, or our experience. And it is just not something that God wants for us ever.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I feel like, too, even like, I mean, speaking words out loud are powerful, but in your mind, too, they're very powerful. And I feel like I can be in a place where I'd be like, okay, to the people that I know will keep me accountable, I'm going to say all the right things. But in my head, I'm like, but I really know what's up. And
exactly.
Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no. Like, I need you to have the truth also in your head because you're going to act out of those thoughts. And if you're dwelling on what's actually true, not what feels true, then you're going to act on that instead of just like your feelings.
Absolutely. There really is power of life and death in the power of the tongue. And so the Lord has really been speaking to me about that. And I've seen fruit of it, bad and good, in my life recently. So, yeah.
real.
So that's
real.
My application with Job. Like, that was one of the biggest things. Of course, you know, faithfulness through through trials. But really, like, I just keep, like, the theme for my life right now is, like, discipline of the tongue. So that verse just really stuck out to me.
Wow, that's so real. It's really good to just be quiet.
It's great. It's really great.
I really just be trying to be quiet.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in that first part of, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, good. I'm trying to do that. Now if the Lord could just change my heart so I have nice things to say.
Right, exactly.
That would be great. That would be perfect.
That would be perfect. I feel like in Proverbs it says, like, even a fool will seem wise if he's just quiet. Like, and that's what I feel like. And I've been saying that to you lately for the past couple months. Like, I'm just going to be more quiet. Like, just, I've been talking. Mm-hmm. And the Bible also said, you know, I don't know these exact verses. I'll put them in the notes below. But like, how it's like, you know, a man with many words, like, even if you're really wise, like, if you just have a lot of words, you're eventually going to say dumb stuff and sound dumb or sin. You know, it's just.
Yeah.
So that's really hard. And that's so not a message that's preached much in our culture today, but there's so many verses about the tongue, like, crazy. We should actually do a whole podcast on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. So yeah, so that's Job. That's where Job has us, and so we're excited to keep going. So guys, continue on with the readings. If you don't keep up every single day, that's okay. Keep listening to the podcast, and that'll kind of keep you on track a little bit, help you catch up if you missed a section or whatnot, or if you're just starting with us. But thank you guys for tuning in to Brown Girl Bible. Do not forget to subscribe here on our podcast, on our YouTube channel, and check us out on Instagram at @BrownGirlBible_.
Can I make a quick plug?
Got to. Yes.
Okay, so listen, y'all, it's election season. And I just want to encourage you all to be civically engaged. And I know that the presidential election is triggering it a lot for people, but we super duper cannot forget that our local elections are extremely important. Your vote has immensely more impact around the local things than it does the presidential one, but still vote in the presidential one. And just remember that politics and policies put in place impact people's lives in a huge way. And so this is something that we have been given stewardship over, that we've been given the privilege to be able to play a role in, something that could impact someone being on the streets or not or whatever. So it just, even if you just steward your time to spend 20 minutes before election day to look up, okay, well, this judge is gonna, you know, believes this or whatever, or this person running for Congress, you know, says they want to do these things to help people, then I would strongly suggest you do that. If you want more information on your local election, where you go to vote, what's going to be on your ballot, who the people are running that you are going to be voting for specifically, then go to vote411.org and you can put in your address and they'll tell you all about that stuff.
That's amazing. Awesome. We got to be civically engaged. Get me together.
Get civically engaged. It just takes a couple seconds of research. And if you're like, I feel overwhelmed by the presidential election stuff, I don't know, I feel like I want to be an informed voter, but I don't have time to do all that, and where do I even start? There is a podcast that literally just takes the Democratic debates audio and makes it a podcast. So I listened to some of those when I was just like cleaning my house this weekend. So no party affiliations or whatever, but just to be aware of currently what's going on, what people are talking about, that's an option too. And that podcast is called, let me look it up. What is that even called? And that podcast is called Election 2020 Democratic Debates. March 17th is the day. Look up, you have people running for Congress, you have people like your school boards and stuff like that. That stuff is huge, you know. In Columbus, our schools don't have, a lot of our public schools don't have air conditioning. And so they're expecting these kids to learn,
you know, in like these insane buildings with no air conditioning. It's so hot. So you want to make sure that you know who you're electing to things like school boards and stuff like that, because I mean, I just listened to a podcast where one of our school board officials was like, I think the problem is we just need to hold teachers more accountable. And they were just getting at him about the air conditioning and stuff. And so you just want to know what's going on, so you can help people, because it's like you just stay a little informed. You take 2 seconds to vote for something and it could really impact people's lives.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. Yes. So vote411.org, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So we'll check that out. Make sure you check the details in the show note. And check out all of our older podcasts as well on Brown Girl Bible. So thanks for checking in. And we'll see you next time. Bye.